Boker Tov. We're continuing the items that are in the Mishkan. So we started with the Aron, and we're going from inside out. We're going from most holy to out. As we're leaving the center of the Aron, or the highlight place of the Mishkan.
The heart.
Yes, exactly. That's the best way to do it. We're going from the heart to the rest of the to the exterior. Now on Pasuk 23. Chapter 25. You'll make a shulchan out of acacia wood. Two amot is its length, an amah is its width, and its height is an amah and a half. So remember the Aron had 2.5 by 1.5 by 2.5.
Yes.
This is 2 by 1 by 1.5. So the Aron only used half amot, and the Shulchan used complete amot. I heard an explanation for that once. I forgot it, but it's probably in there somewhere. Maybe I'll bring it up on Sunday if I find it in my studies
this
over Shabbat.
This is for the bread.
This is for for the lechem apanim. Yes. Okay. 24. V'tzipita oto zahav tahor v'asita lo zer zahav saviv. And you'll cover it with gold, pure gold, and you'll make a golden diadem around it. Very similar to the Aron. The Aron also had that golden zer. V'asita lo misgeret tofach saviv. And you'll make a border of a tefach around. V'asita zer zahav l'misgarto saviv. And you will put that golden diadem around its border, like a crown around that. I'll explain to you exactly what that is in a second. V'asita lo arbata be'ot zahav, and you'll make 4 golden rings. V'natata et ha-taba'ot al arba ha-pe'ot asher l'arba raglav, and you'll put the rings on the 4 corners that are its 4 legs, meaning that are its 4 feet. On the 4 corners that are for the 4 legs of the Shulchan. Okay? Leumat ha-misgeret tihiena tabaot. And the rings will be opposite the misgeret, which we said was the border.
Yes.
Okay? Leumat ha-misgeret tihiena tabaot levatim levadim laset et ha-shulchan. And these will be to house the staves that will carry the Shulchan. So what is this misgeret? So the Misgeret, if you have that art scroll book,
yes,
it was, let's say you have this table, okay? So it will be irrelevant to the recording.
It's like a molding.
But it's a kind of molding, yeah. It looks like a kind of molding that sits either on top of the table, around the edge, or on the bottom of it, under.
They say either top or bottom, yes.
Yeah, they say it's either the top or the bottom. And then you stick the rings on that molding.
The molding, on the corners.
Yeah, on the corner. Or actually, it's not even on the molding, it's on the legs,
yes.
But it's next to the molding, right? So it's on that part of it, okay? But again, these things are much easier to see if you look at that art scroll book. Yeah, okay.
Puzzle 20. The ones who had to construct this.
Have
the...
it's very difficult to describe in words things of architecture and... building and construction. That's why people zone out for
these is a piece of art.
Yeah. Okay, Pasuk 28. V'asita et abadim atzeh shitim. And you'll make the staves out of acacia wood. V'tzipita otam zahav v'nisavam et ha-shulchan. And you cover them with gold and you will carry the shulchan with them. V'asita ke'arotav v'chapotav uksotav umnakiyotav asher yusach bahen zahav ta'or ta'aseh otam. And you will make the dishes and the pans and the jars and the bowls with which you will pour out of pure gold, you will make them. Now, what are all of those things? That to be honest, I don't know. So the dishes, the ke'arotav, it says these are the things with which you bring the bread to the table. Let's see. The pans, better cups. This is a frankincense which is set upon the 2 piles of loaves. Right, where did they keep the... where did they keep, I think it's the Livona, they kept the, I think it's the livona that they kept in these cups, and then they would keep the livona on the bread of the shulchan. So if you have the bread stacked, then they would have a little bit of like a cup. They would keep the frankincense in that cup, and that would sit on top of the bread, the piles of bread. That I also remember from the art scroll book. And you have jars and you have bowls. Let's see. You know, I don't even like his translation. That's my problem here. The best part
is that these breads, they were from 1 week to last 1 week. They will not eat them for 1 week.
Yeah, I'll explain to you where that's coming from. That I do know. But okay, he says these things are all used for the libation of wine which accompanied the burning of the incense.
For whatever is to do with this table, these are all the... Everything that you need to be able to...
Yeah, but it's interesting. It's the items that...
The jar, the jar is a little bit...
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what all of these things are. But he says like this. He's saying that the jars and the chalices used for the libation of wine which accompanied the burning of the incense.
So probably they're using wine on the incense?
So what I think, it seems like all of these things are used in the ketoret, or in the minachot.
When they want us for that specific momentum that they do the celebration with it or whatever.
Right. I'm not an expert in all of this.
Okay.
But whatever it is, I could look into more on Shabbat so I can get a better picture of it for the Sunday class. Okay. And what's the idea of the showbread? How did it work? So they would do every Shabbat, they would... So the last pasuk says, and you will put in front of me showbread for me always. So the question is, tamid. It says that the bread should be there always. So what does it mean? Does it mean they never took the bread off? No, it means that they constantly had bread on. And whenever they would take the bread off, they would swap it.
Right away.
And I heard in a shul that there's actually a Gemaran Machot that describes that there was a machloket if they had to do it in a way where the bread would go on exactly at the same time that the other bread was coming off to make sure that it was always
full.
Yeah. There's one opinion in the Gemara that says that. And there's another opinion that says no, they would take it off in the morning and put it back in the evening. But it was done on Shabbat. So by swapping it out every Shabbat, they had bread on it at all times, and it was never bare.
Okay, that's the idea there.
Pasuk lamed adar. Ve'asita menorat zahav tahor. You will make a menorah of... By the way, notice the Ramban points this out, Nachmanides, that all of these items, they're the typical items you'll find in a household.
Yes.
You find a table. And what do you typically use next to your table in order to eat? You use a lamp.
Yes.
A lamp, especially in those days, a lamp was always put on the table.
Yes.
A lamp was put on the table to help a person. That's why on Shabbat, the idea of the lighting the candles for Shabbat was to make the meal more shalom bayit, quote unquote, so that people could see what they're eating and not get into fights at the table. So you have the table and then you have the lamp, which are part of the typical...
So the menorah is going to be the lamp. That's the whole idea. The menorah is lighting the table also.
Yeah, that's what the point is, I guess. The idea would be that if the table represents the quote-unquote Shabbat table, then the lamp would be the table, the lamp that's lighting that table. Right? And that's why they're next to each other. Okay, that's Ramban. I didn't make that up. 31. V'asita menorah... You'll make a menorah of solid gold. It should be miksha. Where do we see this word miksha before? We saw it by the kaporet of the Aron. So miksha means it should be hit. It should be built out of one piece of gold, right? And that's crazy because the menorah
is not easy.
is so detailed, right? So it's a very difficult. It must have been a lot of gold.
All those leaves that they have to do.
Yeah, yeah. So it should be out of one piece of gold. The menorah should be made. The yerecha. Let's see what I'm not good at translating all these things. Yerecha, its base, the kanah, and its stem, its shaft.
Its cap.
Givyeha. Its cups. Kaftorea. Its knobs, ufracheya, and its flowers. Mimena yihyu, shall all be from that one piece of gold. Now, what are gevi'im, kaftorim, and pirachim? So gevi'im is like a design that they would have, which was a cup design. What they would do is, like, in the gold, there would be like what appears to be like a little bit of a cup design, so and then you would have no, and then it would have. It's not referring to what what's holding the candle. It's referring to there was a specific design. If you look, yes. Maybe even has. You see these things? They even have it. It's too small to see here.
That's the flowers.
You see
the collective cup. You see the bottom. Yes.
So it's like a little bit of like a receptacle kind of looking thing.
Yes.
That would be part of the stem, or it would be part of the whatever it is that jut out. That
it's part of the design.
Yeah, and then it'd have like cups within cups, and it'd just be a nice design. It would create a layered appearance to the menorah. Okay, so that's the cups. The kaftor is another part of the design. It's like a little bit of a button kind of looking thing. You could see it in there also. Yes. And the perachim, the final design, it was in a flowery thing. These were all on the stem. The stem and the
shows exactly.
Yeah, the sticks that were holding the candles. Okay. V'shisha kanim yotzeim mitzedeah, and you have six here. This is the word I was looking for. There'll be six. How are they translating kaneh? Six branches coming out of its side. Shlosha kaneh menorah. Three of the branches mitzadah ha'echad from one side. Shlosha kaneh menorah mitzadah sheni. And three branches from its other side. Shlosha gevi'im meshukadim bakaneh ha'echad kaftor v'aferach. Shlosha gevi'im meshukadim bakaneh ha'echad kaftor v'afarach. Ken l'sheshet ha'kanim ha'yutzim min ha'menorah. Three cups engraved will come from one stem with a button and a flower, and three cups engraved on the other stem with a button and a flower. So for these six stems that came out of the menorah, so you could hear even the language of the text is trying to present it with symmetry,
yes,
because it's very repetitive. Yes. Yeah, that's a tool, like a linguistic tool that uses to present something symmetrical.
So the menorah, symmetry is very important.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion on getting philosophical about what constitutes, what do people tend to find beautiful? It's a good question.
Sure.
Why do people find specific things beautiful? And one of the things that
symmetry and the balance.
Right. One of the things that people do find beautiful is symmetry. It's not the only thing, but it's one of the things.
Because the volume of everything is based on the symmetry, and the symmetry gives a certain character. Very important.
I mean, you're speaking like a true jewelry expert. I don't know.
You can make something look bigger or making it look smaller. It all depends on the symmetry and on the volume that you use. Very easy to hide.
It's really over my head.
Yeah. This is,
okay. So it's the rule.
Even women, they can hide a lot of the way they dress up. Sometimes they wear higher heels, they look thinner or they look taller. You know, it all...
Wow, we're going places that... It's fascinating. Okay.
Also, man, you know, we wear a three-piece suit because we want to hide a little bit the belly.
That's why you do it. Oh.
It makes you look much thinner.
That's why you do the three-piece suit. It's all because of the menorah. Pasuk 34. And then in the middle of the menorah, meaning the center, that comes from the base... Upright, we'll call it. We have to have words for these things, otherwise we confuse ourselves.
Like
the stems, we'll call the stems the things that jut out of the side.
The arms,
and then we'll call the center?
The center would be your how do you call it? Your vertebra. Your
But what are we calling it for the menorah? And
menorah,
in the center stem of the menorah is called the center stem. The center stem of the menorah, you have four cups that are engraved, kaftorei ofrachea. So I think we had three in the previous ones, but here we have four. V'chaftor tachat shenei hakanim imena, v'chaftor tachat shenei hakanim imena, v'chaftor tachat shenei hakanim imena. The shesh ed hakanim ayutim mena menorah. And there was a kaftor under two. What is this part again?
Kaftor is... We said that it was the cup, no?
Yeah, but here, let's translate. The kaftor is the button, and the button kind of thing.
Yes.
And they button under two branches of one piece with
it. The knob, they call it the knob.
Yeah, here they call it the knob with a P. and a knop under two branches of one piece with it, and a knop under two branches of one piece with it. Does it have an image of what it's describing there? I forgot what this is.
Yeah, I think this is it.
This is what it's referring to.
Oh, these ones.
It's referring to these knobs. Yes. Okay, so in the middle of the stem.
This is where the conjunction.
Right. In the middle stem, where the two kanim, where the two stems meet, there's going to be a kaftor. Yes. Okay, so it's perfect symmetry. And there are three of them.
Beautifies these.
Yeah. Okay, the kaftor tacha shenachanim mena, the shesha kanim yachim mena mera. This is a very funny pasuk. Rabbi Chaim, he has this ability. He uses psukim from the Tanakh in like his daily life. So one time he was trying to describe someone who's being ultra repetitive. He was like, this guy comes to me and he's keep saying the same thing. And he says, he's like,
repetition,
it's as if I'm reading this pasuk.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah. He picks, it's one of the things you will pick up when you, if you study with him. He picks very psukim from all over Tanakh, and they're just part of his, you know, of the way he speaks. Okay. 36. Kaftorehem uknotam imena yu kulah miksha achat zahav tahor. The knops and the branches shall be of one piece with it.
Yes.
So it's repeating the idea that it'll all be hit out of one piece of gold. Vasita et nerotea shivan, you'll make the candles, you make them seven, vehe ailan et nerotea vehe ir al ever paneha. And you'll make the total amount of candles will be seven. And you will light the candles, and they will light what's in front of it. Okay. Umalkachea umachtotea zahav tahor. And the tongs and the here, what does it call it? Umachtotea. Machtotea are kind of things that you take ash with.
Yes.
Okay. So the dust bins or whatever it's called. They'll all also be out of pure gold.
Yeah, they call it spoons.
Yeah. Okay. Kikar zahav tahor yaseota should be one piece of pure gold. They should make it et kol hakelim ha'ele, all of these items. Ure va'ase b'tabnitam asher ata mur'e bahar. And you shall look and do according to the structure that you will be shown at the mountain. Okay, so
Hashem shows it to them.
Right.
It's going to be in
the fire. So this is another thing why Moshe just went up to the mountain.
Yes.
So it's a big question when the Mishkan is being built. The Ramban says it's all in order. Ramban says all of this is happening in order.
Like the way that we are reading it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not being built yet, it's being instructed. So Moshe is being instructed about the Mishkan.
While he's
he just went up to the Mishkan, he just went up to the Har Sinai to see into the cloud, into the Arafel, and there he's getting all these instructions.
But we are saying that this was done because
this pasuk kind of supports it.
Because on the other hand, but we are thinking that this is done because of the Chet HaEgel.
Yeah, I think that after. Right, exactly. So it's a big question. Again, we're not going to answer it. If the Ramban and the other Rishonim all argued on this piece, then it's not something that's easily discernible. But this pasuk
gives him more of a.
This pasuk supports Ramban. No, don't you think? It says, shall look and you shall do according to what you will be shown on. In fact, from this pasuk, it sounds like he's not even on the mountain. Not yet on the mountain.
The mountain is going to be shown. So when he goes up in the mountain,
but from this pasuk, it seems like there's no way he's getting these instructions after his experience at the mountain.
Correct.
It could be after the experience of the Chet HaEgel before he went up the mountain again. So we're now plumbing into what the Rishonim are probably looking at. One Devar Torah that I heard on the menorah quickly because the shiur is a bit dense today. The Abarbanel says something very interesting. He says that what does the menorah represent? The menorah represents the seven levels of wisdom and how they all come from one common source. And this is the idea behind the pasuk. Reshit Chokhmah Yirat Adonai. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. So this idea is very deep. Okay, that if that's what the menorah represents, which it could be that the menorah represents the wisdom all coming from one place, and that the beginning of wisdom all comes from the fear of God. I was having this discussion last night with someone, and it's a much deeper concept than people realize. It's not like people just take it, you know, I should fear God and I'll be a wise person. No, there's a lot of philosophical depth. Yeah. There's a lot of implications to that idea. First of all, just in one, and it has ramifications in all areas, but I'll show you one. The idea of science, scientific wisdom. The only reason science is what became a unified field of study, something that had immutable laws that can be studied and predicted, was because of the belief of one God. Why is that? Because if the world is created by multiple gods, and if there are multiple gods at play that are controlling the different facets of nature, then how did the pagan mind look at all of these things? Well, this God is upset today, this God is angry today, this God is fighting with this God. And in that worldview, because there are so many different creatures controlling the different bodies of nature, the bodies of nature were all random. Which means that the whole idea of scientific, of one unified field of study, of immutable laws that guide the entire universe, that's impossible. There's no concept like that. The concept of science, of nature, of laws of nature, only works in a worldview in which there is one creator who created everything in one system. But when the system is broken up into different gods who are basically behaving at a whim, then there's no way to study the specific laws of science. So whenever we say the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, it's not just like a cute statement of Musar. It's a statement of real philosophical truth. That there's so much philosophical truth that only comes forth when it rests on the idea of one deity. And then even in the flip case, you'll see a lot of deviations from the truth, which to us are obvious deviations of the truth. And where are they coming from? They come from the people who don't have fear of God. So you come from, like, let's say this whole idea of the genders, right? The 5,000 genders. That idea of graying the difference between the male and the female, that idea doesn't come from believers in God. It's a foolish idea. We can call it an idea that lacks wisdom. But for some reason, a proper perspective of gender is only coming from those who fear God. So the idea is very deep, and it could be explored more. And according to Abba Ben Ella, maybe one of the messages of the menorah. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen. Amen. Amen.